This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Lynn Lederold.
Iola Hegarty.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now, Lindley, I hear that you went to Prince Charles and Diana's wedding.
Yes.
You went to the wedding?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, not in the church exactly, no.
So how did that happen?
Well, my parents sent me on a trip. I had been very depressed after my marriage broke up. So they thought, right, we'll fix her. We'll send her on a women's...
Send her to a wedding?
Send her... it was a women's weekly tour.
Oh, okay.
Well, the group of people who were a lot older than me, generally. They were more in their 60s.
Yeah.
And I was 37.
And these were all royal followers?
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I had no choice.
Okay.
You are going to this. Yeah.
They had enough of you. They'd offload you on this and said they can go with your trauma. Yeah.
That's right. I thought I was going to step off.
Was it therapeutic?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I thought I was going to step off the edge of the earth because I hadn't left New Zealand before that.
Okay.
With my first trip away, really, yeah. I think. I'd been to Australia, maybe. Yeah,
well, you had enough chaperones, you'd have been safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a large tour, a large group?
Yes, it was. I don't know, it would be 25, would it be, or 20? I don't know how many people there were, really. But because I was younger than most, I think wherever we went, people thought I was the tour leader or the person who was taking everywhere. So that when I got on a plane, they had flipped down all the seats and I could lie out and sleep, whereas everyone else had to sit up straight.
And what did the tour leader say?
He just had to accept it. It was the hostesses and things that treated me as if I was the tour leader.
Oh, well.
Yes, so we went to...
It wasn't anything to do with when you got on the plane you were carrying an umbrella up in the air for them all to follow.
Not exactly, no. No.
Okay. So you flew...
Flew to LA, and a friend of my father's met me there and took me all round, so I was lucky, went up to San Francisco and then met the group again and went to Disneyland.
So what was your first time overseas?
Mm-hmm.
You went to America. You would have had some expectations of America.
No,
nothing at all.
No.
So what were there any impressions? First impressions?
Well, it was quite interesting because the guy that was taking me around had no sense of direction, and he was driving. And I thought, well, it was pretty simple, really. There were the mountains. I mean, you either go this way or that way, you know, it was easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I can remember.
Did you notice, were the cars very different, or at that stage were there many? What year was this?
He was a New Zealander.
Yes.
And didn't know
or
where he was going. He was a friend of my father's here.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
But he was driving a big American car.
I don't remember the car, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, but it was quite fun having a look around, being shown everywhere. I was treated royally. Everything was paid for me. I didn't have to pay for anything. Ended up in the Disneyland, and that was LA.
So there were all these much older people in the group all going to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on all the rides and things, did they? Or?
Mm-hmm. And of course, never having been on one, I was petrified.
Yeah.
And they said, look, don't worry, just get on, shut your eyes, you'll be fine.
And it'll be over before you know it, and you'll be okay. So it's not a matter of doing it for enjoyment. It's for bragging rights afterwards, was it?
Well, I absolutely adored every second, so there we are.
And you kept your eyes open.
Kept my eyes open the whole time. Just wanted to get on and do it again and and again.
Yeah. So again, you had no expectations beforehand?
No. Yeah. No, it was all sudden, and I didn't know. I was just, told...
Yeah.
Here your tickets, and we've booked you on this trip, and you're going. So that was it.
But you'd have heard about Disneyland, though, would you?
Oh, yes, but
but
it didn't
no
mean
idea
anything.
What to
it was a sort of children's thing that I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So all these old people going along and loving
it. It was all great fun. Yeah, it was huge fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that, because I thought it was a children's thing, but it was just...
No, it was great magic. Time. It was. Yeah. The whole thing, yes.
Okay. So then from Disneyland you flew direct to London?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, and I had an aunt and uncle over there, and so they met me, my mother's brother and his wife and family. Yep, and so they took me all around, because on this trip we had days where we went on and then a free day, and on the free day you could go with wherever you liked and with whoever you like.
Okay.
So we did the whole tour of the UK.
Gosh.
Pardon? Went right around the UK?
Yeah.
In a day?
No, not in a day.
Oh, the whole group, you mean?
Yes, the whole group.
Oh, okay.
In about a fortnight, I suppose it was. I don't know whether it was a fortnight or 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So a whistle-stop tour. You went up to Scotland.
Yes.
So what were the major places you went to that you recall?
Oh, golly.
Windsor Castle, Buckingham Palace.
Oh, yes, all those.
Got Parliament, all the London things.
Yes, all the London things. And then, Edinburgh Castle, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And what do you remember of Edinburgh Castle?
Oh, I don't remember anything unless I look at a photo of it. And there's a photo of me there.
So was that whole trip a big blur? Or?
Yeah, not at the time, of course. But in retrospect, it is a blur. Yes.
And then, but you went there, the selling point was the wedding.
Yes, and that was first that we got there. We stayed at the Waldorf Hotel.
Yeah.
And that's where the procession to the church with the guests and the royal family passed us.
Yeah.
And we stood out on the street and saw them go by.
And you all had flags and you waved as they drove past at great speed.
Don't remember the flag waving, but then after that, I do remember Princess Margaret, because she stood out. She looked absolutely stunning. She just looked so beautiful. Yes, I do remember that.
More than Diana.
Well, she hadn't gone at that stage.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Because, the bride doesn't turn up until later. Yes, and then after they'd all gone by, we went inside the Waldorf and watched it all on great big TV screen.
Okay.
And then followed by a sumptuous meal.
And there was
meal.
All the speculation, would she turn up or would she change her mind?
No, not exactly. Oh, the night before was pretty exciting. That was Hyde Park. And there were thousands and thousands there. And that was quite scary in a way, because if you wanted to leave, you were scared you'd be crushed. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
So what were they doing there?
I think it was a fire, fireworks display.
Oh, okay,
But it was a massive, massive gathering in Hyde Park.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So, and I suppose coming from New Zealand, or even sort of small town New Zealand, would it be? Then suddenly seeing all those people would be...
It's pretty unusual, that's right, yes. To be, crowd like that was phenomenal, yes.
Yeah. So what's your recollection of it? With exciting,
of
all
Park.
That sort of thing?
It was just the recollection is the crush of people and all being very close together and knowing how many people were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite an experience.
Well, you were lucky it was in England, where they're less likely to touch each other.
Yes. Oh, no, there was no danger, really.
I just remember a comment from some people from... actually from the Middle East talking about walking through central London, say all those people and none of them touch you.
a really crowded
place without people bumping into each other and things.
And my aunt and uncle came and took me down to Brighton and all around down where they lived, and down to the south coast and all that on a day off. And then the rest of it was all dripping around the whole...
So you've got family connections to England? So do you have, from growing up then, was there an impression of England? Was England home for you growing up?
Well, people my age, our schooling was all English. Yeah. I knew the towns on a map, better than I knew New Zealand or Australia. I knew no towns in Australia whatsoever.
Yeah.
And our school, right up to the end of UE and everything, was all based on UK.
Yeah.
UK history, UK geography, UK everything.
Textbooks and exams. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everything was English, and everything that was English was right. Yeah. I mean, you had to do the right speech, you had to do the right things, you know.
So where were you growing up?
I was born in Dunedin.
Yeah.
I went to 8 different schools. My mm-hmm. parents moved around, spent about 5 years in Hauwera, Taranaki.
Oh, yeah.
High school there, yes.
And it was the same curriculum wherever you were? Same textbooks? Or
yes, basically.
Yeah. Mm. So going to England, it seemed quite familiar, or
yes, and also having my aunt and uncle there, whom I knew really well, because they had been born in New Zealand, both of them, and they had gone. My uncle had been a pilot in the Second World War, and rather than join Air New Zealand, he went over to the UK and became a pilot there. He ended up with BOAC. I think he was a director in the end.
Okay, yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So, I mean, sometimes people say if they go to Britain, they're surprised that their houses seem small or very close together, compared to a quarter acre sections.
I have written in my diary the surprise of the shape and the colour of the houses and all that sort of thing. Yes, but I found them beautiful. I like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose it depends on the areas you go to as well. You saw the sort of streets of terraced houses or estates as detached and semi-detached houses with the nice gardens.
Probably. So I don't, look, I don't no, remember no that. Recollection. Not really. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Mm. So where do you remember other than London?
Well, going up. Is it Hull? No.
Yeah,
to Scotland from there, sort of.
Okay, you've got Hull on the Humber in York. Yorkshire on the east coast. Oh, you went through York.
York and up that way, I know, on the east coast.
Okay, so you went up the east coast, up to Scotland and back down on the western coast. Side.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
That's how we did it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Up the east coast and down the
So you have recollections.
Saw a bit of Wales, I mean.
Yes.
I look at photos.
I was going to say, you've got recollections of Hull then, or...?
I don't know.
It's not the first place that foreigners. No, my parents were born in Hull, but
it's a name that you just remember, you know.
Yeah, well, York though would have stood out, presumably.
Yes. I don't know. Sitting on a bus being taken, and you know, and the bus driver saying this, that, and the other.
So did you stop in York and go to the museum and the Minster?
We did. I've got photos.
Do you remember a street, a very narrow old street with the houses that sort of the upper stories are overhanging and so on, a street called the Shambles in York?
Mm-hmm. I may have done. There could be photos of them. I've got billions of photos. Okay.
And then there's a transport museum there, and there's the castle and the York Minster and the walls and the river running through the...
I don't know.
Complete blank.
Don't remember it now.
No, your parents spent a lot of money on this trip.
I don't remember. I'm probably hoping she was going to meet a man.
Yeah.
Well, I met the bus driver we spent a bit of time together, but that was it.
Yeah. So you went up to Scotland.
Yes.
Do you have ties to Scotland at all, family background?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, coming from Dunedin with names like Calder and Girvan and
So your family Scottish. Were from
My mother's Scot- side would be Scottish.
Okay.
My father's side Cornish, Tregonan, down Devon.
Yeah,
Cornwall,
opposite ends business. Of the country. Really. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. But
yeah, so all UK.
Your fringe UK, yes.
Yep, yep. Okay. Plus schooling, you know.
Yeah.
May as well have been born in the UK, really.
Yeah. So you had relatives in Scotland as well?
Possibly, but I didn't see them. No. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So you went to Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere else in Scotland that you recall?
I don't remember, no.
No. Okay. No.
Possibly, but I don't remember.
And you came back and you went into some parts of Wales.
Mm-hmm. But I don't really remember the whole thing. Gosh, it's a long time ago.
I could imagine that a trip like that, it would be all churches, castles and stately homes.
Yes. Now I've got photos, inches thick of photos of buildings, and I looked at them the other day and they mean nothing to me. I could just biff them all away, really, because there's very few with people in them. And yes, I thought, golly, how come that is? And of course, actually, when we got back to London, we decided, some of the people on, or a couple, decided we would go to Paris. So, of course, we jumped on a ferry, went across the ferry to France and down to Paris and to a hotel there and did all the touristy things like rides on the Seine and things like that.
So you went to the art galleries and...
Oh, yes, definitely. Loved the...
So a common comment that people have is if they go to Europe, the sort of history, because New Zealand, an old building is probably 100 years old, whereas it's quite
different. Yes, well, Notre Dame, of course, wasn't on fire in those days. it was, you know, as it was, and I've written about it in the diary that I wrote.
So you've got an extensive diary?
Oh, no, it's just the trip diary.
So what, you wrote that every night, did you?
Yes.
Or as you were going?
Yes, until the end, the very last night in Singapore, which I didn't continue with. But in Paris, I loved the thing about the Louvre, which I found all very boring, because it was all oil paintings of military things. Didn't interest me, corridors and corridors of it, until I came across Botticelli frescoes. And that made it all worthwhile for me.
So what about then in so there's obviously the things in the Louvre, but Britain's got all sorts of collections as well. Did you go around those?
Oh, look, I can't remember. I don't know.
Did what about the food then? Do you it didn't stand out?
No, I don't remember any food.
That's okay.
I remember being in the pub and Paris and some guy wanting me to stay there and be his muse for some reason. Didn't quite know what that was about, but anyway.
Might have changed his mind a day or two later.
He was a fortune teller, some funny guy. I remember writing that in the trip book.
Yeah, you weren't tempted though.
No.
What was your impression of London though? First time you went?
I don't know. I think, you know, when you meet a family member whom you know really well as your parents, you're not looking at London, you're looking at them.
It's the people. Yeah.
And seeing them and their dog and doing things with them in their car and chatting and, you know, the rest could have been oblivious to it, really.
Now, you said you knew them well, so you must have known them for quite some time in New Zealand. Was that because they went back to New Zealand sometimes, or they'd only recently UK?
No, they had gone, I don't know, probably when I was about 9, they probably went to the UK, but up till the age of 9 or 10, I would have known them really, really well.
Oh, okay.
And they did come back as well for, you know, holidays and things. Yes.
Okay. And how did they, obviously they liked it there. Did they talk about the UK and their decision to be there? Or?
Well, I think my uncle felt you had to be in a certain, to be an NAC or something and happen to be who you knew sort of thing. And he didn't want to be part of that. Yes, and I think...
Oh, so you mean New Zealand, the small country connection?
Yes.
I've heard similar things about someone moving into law and saying, yeah, really, it's only if you've got relatives who are already in law firms, then you can get into those. Otherwise, it can be difficult.
Yes, and I think that's why he thought he'd try his luck in the UK. Because his wife, my aunt, you know, they were both Kiwis.
Yeah.
They'd grown up here, yes.
Yeah,
And so they lived their whole life, and I've still got a cousin there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Horsham. So they clearly Horsham was where they lived, south of London.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Okay, and they settled into the life there, no problem.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And my cousin, she's still riding horses madly.
Yeah. At what age?
Probably, I don't know. She must be in the 70s. Would she be? Oh, maybe not. Must be nearly.
Okay, Oh, that's something. Mm.
She's on Facebook, not that I know, because I don't really do Facebook, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been back to the UK since then?
No, I've been to France. Spent 10 weeks in France.
Oh.
And on the way back from the trip, we called it Singapore, but it was very scathing in my opinion of Singapore.
Yeah. why is that? Book.
I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me. I just didn't like it.
Very different.
Very different, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now, experiences of food, though, because that's often something that can stick in people's mind.
Well, I think my father had a friend who was a Polish Jew, and so we'd always had very, different sort of food. It wasn't just kiwi food. So I was used to have, and Dutch friends in New Zealand, so I was aware of all the different sorts of foods, and so different foods were fine for me.
So it's just normal.
Yeah,
because that way you
would eat anything and everything.
Because I'm trying to think, I can't remember when the wedding was.
It was 1981.
81, okay. Mm. So New Zealand was starting to broaden out then, but it was only in the, was it through the 70s when there was a local celebrity cook sort of thing who was introducing people to different ways of cooking? Before then it had been very traditional, I think.
I was just trying to think of who they were, because we had the two guys, didn't we? They used to be...
Oh, yes, on telly.
Oh, is that Hudson and Halls, is it?
Or
is
yes, Hudson and Halls. Yeah, they were great.
Mm, but they were comedians, really.
Yeah.
Didn't so much matter about the food. Yes.
And then Alison Holst was active at that time, wasn't it?
Yes.
But, I think there was someone else before. I seem to recall they were saying some that...
from the Air Force, I was trying to think.
There've been a lot of very now traditional New Zealand cooking, but then there were some big attempts to get New Zealand to look more broadly, and I think a lot of New Zealand's travelling overseas and coming back and wanting the sorts of foods that they experienced there. But it was
Alison Holst, because
she did a lot of that
in America and came back with good, interesting things.
Yes, well, my dad's Polish friend, he used to bake bread with poppy seeds and things, little buns in them.
This was
unusual, and make borscht and things like that, all those sorts of different things. And then the Dutch friends made all sorts of things as well. And also, in my family, we ate, well, when I was first married, we used to eat brains because it was economical.
Brains,
Because it was
awful.
And liver and all sorts of things. I remember cooking brains once a week, and my kids, they'll just throw up their hands in horror. Even now, they say, "Oh, Mum made us eat kidneys." And
but I remember growing up in England as well, and there were some similarities with the traditional kiwi food, and often. There was the idea in England, or the way it's described, you'd boil the vegetables until they're just mushed, then you pour away the water that has all the nutrients and eat what's left. So a lot of it's not necessarily the ingredients, but how they cook, the timing and what you add to it, and so on. And I think a lot of that, the changes that have come in New Zealand.
Although my grandmother was a great cook. She was a fabulous cook.
Was she into herbs and spices and things?
Yes. Not particularly spicy, I suppose, but yes, really.
All the different herbs.
I enjoyed her food.
Yeah, so what sort of things would she cook?
Well, just traditional British things, probably, that she'd grown up with.
Stews and pies and soups and... Pikelets weren't English. Pancakes were English, but I think pikelets might have been more American.
My grandmother made pikelets. Always making pikelets.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, well, there's a lot more sugar in than pancakes.
Yeah.
Well, of course, both my parents were really good cooks. And, yes, we did have spices and things, but it was mainly because my father had been a merchant seaman.
Yes.
And, of course, travelling around the world. And he was fond of all sorts of different meals. And, so I think also that after the 50s and the exodus, I think, from Europe to New Zealand was...
Interesting you should say that too, because the friends that my parents had, you know, I was talking about the Polish friend and the Dutch friends, that the was the men that did the cooking.
Yes.
It was the men that, you know...
Yes,
they did all the lovely, exciting, different foods. Yes.
Well, I found that at university, often the guy, we're all on a tight budget, so the guys, you buy low-cost food and then find out, experiment different ways to make it tasty by adding all the different spices and things, whereas often I think that the female students felt it was a reputation thing. They couldn't afford to have a failure, so they'd be quite conservative in their cooking often. So, whereas we do... Oh, mind you, I developed a nice sort of Spanish omelette sort of thing where I put paprika over the top. And then I was visiting friends in London and I said, oh, do you have any paprika to put over the top? I said, what's paprika? I said, oh, it's this sort of reddish powder thing. Oh, we've got this reddish powder, which was chili powder. You can put that on. So, but it was very nice. Somewhat different from what we expected, but it worked all right. Yeah.
Yes.
But you play around like that and it could come out well.
Well, goulash, of course, with paprika is a traditional thing, isn't it? My daughter still adores our old family recipe for goulash, which I don't know where it came from, but anyway, we made it. And also, we bought lots of books and things, didn't we?
We did.
Foreign books and things, you know, with cooking. All sorts.
Certainly, you know, the 1960s, it was still the idea that, you know, of good housekeeping.
Oh, so in some circles then you're saying that people did experiment with different things, because I recall even now a lot of people 70s and above might think a good meal is a roast with potatoes and a couple of veg, but there's a lot who have broader ideas.
I think
now.
I've gone back to that in my old age, you know, to have sort of standard food, but really and I guess most of my adult life wasn't at all standard food.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.